introduce him, quite an interesting fella, all the way from up the hill. But Terry and I have kind of had friendship for some years now, and we met for breakfast the other day, and amongst other things, he kind of told me about a word that he had on his heart. And I thought, that's great. And I kind of just left it there. And then the next day we were in a meeting, a pastor's meeting, and I mentioned one of the ideas that Terry had to pray for guys in business. And then James popped up and said, oh, Terry, yeah, I had a dream about him last night. So now you got my ears. So I said, what was your dream? He said, no, he was preaching in the church. A message the Lord gave him, and it was really encouraging. So I thought, oh, that's good. So I kind of paused a little while. And I was about to phone Terry, and I got an SMS saying, please pray for us. We're going to Nelspruit this weekend for ministry, getting back Sunday quite late. So I thought, well, either he's missed it or I've missed it. So it had to be him. So he traveled all the way back to be with us tonight to come and share a word. So reach out your hands and let's just welcome a word that the Lord has for us. I really felt like it was timely and it was for now. Amen?
Amen.
So we do. Father, we receive whatever you want to say to us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Then I'm going to ask the guys who take up the offering if they'll come up while Terry's finding his notes and all his Bibles. And if you're visiting with us tonight, welcome. You are most welcome to reach into the pocket next to you and give like you've always wanted to give. Now, we are very careful to, in bringing our tithes and offerings, to make sure that we understand it's for the gospel. It's not protection money against heaven's mafia hit squad. We have been redeemed from the curse, and we've been blessed beyond the curse. So that's why I love reading Deuteronomy and Malachi, because I want every blessing God's word promises. But we don't have to live under the fear of judgment and curse. Amen. So our giving is free from that manipulation, and now our giving is for the wonderful privilege of sharing in the gospel that we call to preach. So I want to say to you, if you're not in the habit of bringing an offering, I know some of us do it electronically, but it's also nice to have something in your hand to give, because it kind of releases something. It makes you feel like a partner in what's happening. Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. How's that? Now, in the world, it's the other way around. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be. So if your heart's for rugby, then you'll put your money behind it. If your heart's for music, you'll put your treasure behind it. Where if your heart's for your something else, you put your treasure behind it. But in the kingdom, we put our treasure somewhere. And our heart follows after our treasure. Show me someone who's not consistently giving, and I'll show you someone whose heart isn't in that direction. No condemnation, amen? Just a great privilege. So, thanks guys, as we take up the offering. Let's take up our offering in our hand, and let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the privilege to give into the gospel. And as we give tonight, we just pray that you release us from any kind of stinginess or small-mindedness, and you bring us into just a cheerfulness and a generosity of heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Am I on? Yeah, I am. Stage lights are quite serious here, eh? Okay, sure. Good evening, friends. Hi. I'm sure that most of you don't know us because we haven't been around for very long at Highways. But for the time that we have been here, it's been amazing. We really are enjoying ourselves here. My name is Terry, as you heard, and I'd just like to introduce my wife, Jolene. My wife of 33 years over there, and my gorgeous wife and my gorgeous daughter as well, Gabby, 17 years old. And I want to say that I love my wife more and more as each year goes by. It's been 33 years now, and I love you, babe. Scored big points, eh? Big points there. Thanks to Steve and Jan and the team for this amazing opportunity. It's a privilege. And I trust that what I have on my heart will be a blessing for all of us, including myself. I've just been told that two things from Steve, that I have to stand on the spot. I can't jump up and down or walk, pace up and down. And I'm not allowed to preach heresy. So if you see me glued here, then you know what's happening. Yeah, we've been so seriously blessed in this church because the teaching that's coming out of this place, it's wonderful. It's full of life, and it's the life that God intended for us to receive. And like most of us, we don't have a problem receiving that life, receiving the grace of God, receiving everything that Jesus has for us, because that's good. That's awesome. And He's bestowed so much upon us. The finished work of the cross is just so amazing. And we find we're just soaking it up like sponges, you know. Almost like sunflowers just, you know, following the sun, you know, for as long as possible, as long as it is day, receiving as much life and as much light as possible. That's awesome. But while this has been going on, we've been receiving fresh revelation and just enjoying ourselves. I just really felt God challenging me, and a scripture that God laid in my heart that just keeps on going over and over and over. And that scripture is, freely you have received, freely give. And I just want to put that scripture up now. It's from Matthew 10. It's Matthew 10, 7 and 8. Maybe we can just read it. So as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And you'll see the first three words are, as you go. And the last two words are, freely give. And as far as God saying, as you go, in your daily life, in your workplace, on the sports field, wherever you are, as you go, freely give, because freely you have received. I say, God, what if we receive freely? And God said, His love and His grace. We freely received His love and His grace, and we continue to receive it. And God's saying, just as you receive it, as you receive that love, as you receive that grace, freely give of that. Don't just learn to be a grace receiver, but also learn to be a grace giver. So as we're receiving, we learn how to receive. It doesn't just come like that. We have to be taught. And that's why the teachings here are so great. It's teaching us how to really just open up completely and receive everything that God has for us. But in the same way, we need to learn how to give. It's a process. And just as the Holy Spirit's teaching us to receive everything, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to teach us to dispense that, to give. My wife's always been an amazing person of grace. Even long before she was saved, she's a gracious person. And in most areas of her life, unlike myself. I know that God really wants us to be a people who not only receive, which is awesome, but also who are able to give. And for most of us, we are good in giving in some areas of our lives, but we're not good in other areas. And I speak for myself, and you can ask my family. That's the best place to go to find out, you know, is a person a grace giver or not. And there are some areas in my own life where I feel it's good. But I know that there's so many areas that I fail hopelessly in. And I almost feel, and I know that I'm unqualified to really be preaching this tonight, because I'm going to be wanting to learn this just as much as I believe God wanting to teach you guys. And so this is a process where we all going to just open up to God and allow Him to show us how to be grace givers. When we are able to be grace givers and touch the people around us, amazing things happen. People's lives are completely changed and transformed. Salvation comes. People are set free. People's lives are changed radically when we are able to dispense that same grace that we are receiving to others. And the question is, what does that look like? And that's why tonight I just felt that, I mean, there's so many areas of Jesus' life where we could go, because He's just dispensing that grace as He went, everywhere. But tonight I just felt I'd like to pick on one story, which is the story of Zacchaeus. That's Luke 19, verse 1 to 10. So maybe if we could stick that up there. Thanks. Jesus is the person of grace. So we need to just go to Jesus and go to His life and see how He does it and what actually happens in that situation, in that life situation. So, let's just read that scripture. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once, and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." I find that such an amazing story. The setting is Jericho. As we know, the city of Jericho was really prosperous at the time. Everyone knew about Jesus. They knew He was coming that way. And the crowd had gathered either side of the road. There were throngs of people. And they all just wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus. What do we know about Zacchaeus? He was a chief tax collector, which means that he had other tax collectors under him and was probably raking in a percentage of the taxes that each one of them collected. As a tax collector, he would have been despised, he would have been shunned and rejected by his fellow Israelites. Tax collectors were considered to be traitors because they were collecting taxes for the Roman government, who were the oppressors of the Israelites at that time. So they were treated the same way as pagans. They were treated like unbelievers and like lepers. They were deprived the lineage of being a true son of Abraham. And they were treated as outcasts. So that's Zacchaeus. He's an outcast. He's really on the outside. He's got all the money, but you know, he's been dishonored and rejected by everyone that he comes across. He was extremely wealthy, presumably from ill-gotten gain, according to his own admission. He was short. He could not see Jesus because of the crowd, but he desperately wanted to see Jesus so much. How do we know? Because he took the trouble to run ahead and to climb a sycamore fig tree, which is between 15 and 20 meters high. And it's got lots of strong branches to sit on, but he took a lot of trouble to get up there. He desperately wanted to see Jesus. Outline, Zacchaeus, like the rest of the huge strong there, he heard of this amazing man, Jesus. All that he had done in the region. How he was turning the whole world upside down with his amazing teaching. And how he was driving out demons, raising people from the dead, and doing amazing stuff. And so, in his mind, it was, who is this carpenter from Nazareth? But I firmly believe it wasn't just curiosity that drove him up that tree. I believe that being shunned all his life and being rejected and despised and being an outcast, finally, I believe became too much for him. And it was too much for him to bear. He was really at breaking point. And something had to happen in his life because he was really desperate. There was this deep heart cry for affirmation, for approval. He was just so desperate just to be loved and to belong. He had accumulated all this wealth at a huge personal cost. And it wasn't able to buy him the things that mattered to him most. He believed that money and all that it could buy could bring him the self-esteem, could bring him success, could bring him a reason for existence. But somehow it had seriously failed him. And there was this huge gaping hole in his heart that nothing, absolutely nothing, could fill. He so desperately wanted to meet Jesus. Somehow in the depths of his soul, he just knew that if he could just have an encounter with Jesus, it would change his whole life. If he could just talk to Jesus, even just for a few minutes, he knew that his life would be changed forever. But there was no chance of that. He reasoned because he was the greatest sinner in the whole of Jericho. The very last person that this man, popular, famous Jesus, everybody knew, would want to stop and talk to. Why would Jesus even want to consider talking to him and spending time with him? So he reasoned that and he settled in his heart. He said, look, if I can just see this man Jesus, if I can just watch him, just see him walking underneath here and just watch him passing through. And he settled for that in his heart. That was all he really actually expected. And then suddenly he saw Jesus appearing in the distance with his disciples following him and around him and coming towards him. And he kept his eyes intently on Jesus himself, just looking directly at Jesus until Jesus was almost like underneath that tree. And suddenly Jesus stopped underneath that tree and he looked up at Zacchaeus and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay with you today. And I think for Zacchaeus, this can't be happening. This is unbelievable. You know, I'm the last person. You know, it's like the joy of all joys. How does he even know my name? This is baffling. This is my impossible dream that's come true. I know I don't deserve this. But I'm not going to let this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity pass me by. So he came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. Friends, I believe that Jesus knew Zacchaeus a long way before it even arrived. I believe that was a divine appointment. He'd heard his heart cry. Jesus heard his heart cry from a long way off, long before he even saw Zacchaeus. He had him in his heart. It's Jesus, always drawing us closer. Come down. Come closer. Just drawing us into a close encounter, a sacred encounter. Always wanting to just be with us. Just him and us. That's Jesus. I love Jesus so much. And we just see the result of this brief, amazing encounter. It's just so truly miraculous. And whilst reclining at table, Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." What was it that changed his life so rapidly and so radically? Jesus never sat down with Zacchaeus and preached the gospel to him. He didn't sit down and expound a whole lot of stuff. He just gave him grace. He just honored him. He just said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I can stay at anybody's place here in this whole city, but I'm going to choose your place to stay at tonight because I want to give you grace, undeserved favor. And I want to honor you where people have dishonored you." And that really is all that Jesus actually did. But it was all, he never spoke much, but he gave. He gave grace and he gave love. And I believe that's why his life was so radically transformed. Jesus gave a huge dollop of amazing grace. In just one brief encounter, Jesus had met every one of his deepest needs. He stilled every heart cry. He replaced it with his love and his peace. He was affirmed and approved as a son of God, a child of God in the household of God, a place where he was loved and where he truly belongs. Jesus said to him, "Today has salvation come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." He spoke sonship over him. A servant has no permanent place in a family, but a son belongs to it forever. And friends, we are sons of God, not by performance, but by lineage, because we have been adopted into the family of God. Are we sons and heirs of the household of God forever? Forever. And we can just see here how the saving grace of Jesus has the ability and the capacity to reach into any situation. It can reach down into the deepest, darkest, miry pit, and it can pull us out of there. The grace of God can come and deliver us from the most amazingly difficult situations and circumstances. It can pull us out of a place that we would never believe that God can actually reach us there, where the opposition is so overwhelmingly against us and the circumstances are so against us. But the grace of God and the love of God can come down into that place and just pull us straight out of that and deliver us right out of that. I thank God that grace rules over karma. I thank God that He doesn't give us what we deserve, but He gives us what we need. Where others would write us off for our faults and our failures, God never does. God is never ashamed of us. Friends, you know that. God is never ashamed of us. He always takes our mistakes and our failings and He turns them into the most amazing success. That's God. He weaves the failings and faults in our lives and He weaves them into a success story. Our failings, our defeats, or all just get swallowed up with the amazing victory that Jesus wrought on the cross for us. Every failure, every defeat is negated and made ineffective through the amazing victory on the cross. When we have every reason to give up on someone but don't, despite the pressure and expectations of the world around us, people clamoring for blood, but rather choose, despite the loss, because it costs us. Every time we give grace, it costs us. There are consequences. And when we decide and choose not to come down on people, we are giving grace to people. I mean, for all of us, you know, as we sit here, there are so many situations in our lives where financially we've been ripped off, where we've been dishonored, when we've been falsely accused, betrayed, so many times by so many people. We have every reason to want to come down on those people. And we see that even in the situation with Jesus and Zacchaeus and the crowd, they were miffed that Jesus actually went to his place. He doesn't deserve to have Jesus going to his place. There were many more people there that were more worthy, much more worthy of having Jesus stay at their place. But he got to have Jesus. And actually, in a way, it really is, it's actually unfair. And maybe you can understand why they got upset. But you see, that's the price that Jesus paid, because people muttered and murmured. You know, they rejected, they dishonored, they did a whole lot of stuff. That they said a whole lot of stuff that wasn't good for him. It wasn't good for his reputation. This man, you know, he hangs out with sinners and tax collectors, you know. So he must be like one of them, you know. But Jesus knew who he was. And it didn't bother him, because his mission was to, as he said, to seek and to save that was lost. And he was prepared to pay the price to be a grace giver, to save Zacchaeus. And so there's always a price to pay. And a lot of the time we find the people around us getting upset with us when we do not exact judgment and come down on people that have offended us, when they've heard. It's not fair. But Grace, you said anything about fairness. This is, I mean, what God has given us and the finished work of the cross and what we receive every day from Jesus. Is it fair? No, it's not about fairness. It's about the love of God. It's about the grace of God. It's about the fact that when we were dead in our sins, that God came and He made us alive in Christ. And then He took us and seated us at the right hand of God. What is fair about that? That is just awesome. And that is just grace. So who says that we have to exact punishment on people? Who says that we can't go the extra mile with people and be gracious to people and see salvation come, see lives changed, see situations and atmosphere changing completely because we are grace givers and bringing the grace of God into that situation, changing that whole situation, changing lives forever. Freely you have received, freely give. People will never get grace until we give grace. Being grace givers is far more effective than being grace talkers. And there are times that we need to talk grace. But when we talk about the grace of God, it needs to be off a foundation of love. We're doing it because we love people, because we're seeking and saving that which is lost. It's not about one-upmanship. It's not about us proving that we have something that other people don't have, that we're special, that we're exclusive. Because God's given us all this revelation and He's pouring all this stuff into our hearts and we're just so full. And now we're better than somebody else. And they need to bow to us because we have something better than them. No, we're not better than them. This grace belongs to God. This love belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. This revelation belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. We've received it freely. We need to be humble and say, God, sure, this is amazing. I don't deserve this. Let me just tell everybody, I don't deserve what I'm going to tell you about. You know, I'm no better than you. Because I tell you then, people will receive it. When we don't talk down to people, but rather just humble ourselves before people under the mighty hand of God and say, Lord God, thank you so much that we've received all this from you. It doesn't make us better than you, than anybody else. It just makes us more alive and able to give life. When we receive grace, it's life for us. When we give grace, it's also life for us and for others. So this is an added measure of life when we give grace. It's life for us. It flows through us and it's for others as well. It's not just for us. And we need to remember that we can only receive grace because Jesus paid the price for us to receive grace. It cost him his life and much, much more besides. When we dispense grace, it will cost us plenty. And it's like this is what it means to lose our lives and paying the price for this. It cost Jesus his life, but we are his inheritance. That's what he's received. For the price he paid, we are his inheritance. It means that we need to often side with the Father against ourselves. Allow ourselves to be poured out like a drink offering, as Paul says. But let us be poured out. Because it's fine. We know where and how to go and get more grace. We can get grace. So we can be poured out and we know how to go back and get more and pour it out and go back and get more and pour it out. That's fine. Let us be poured out like a drink offering. That's good. In Hebrews 12 verse 1, it says, I think it's around about verse 4, it says, talks about Jesus, it says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. So for the joy set before Jesus, he scorned its shame. For the joy set before him. And I want to say, what is the joy that was set before him? Is it not us tonight? Is it not, are we not the joy, his joy and his crown tonight? When he was hanging there, isn't that what carried him through the pain and the suffering and the heartache? Just seeing a picture of us and the wedding supper of the Lamb with us sitting with Jesus, and he's looking at the cross and he's looking forward and seeing us scorning its shame because of us, because we are his joy and his crown. So we look forward to the wedding supper of the Lamb. We look forward. We're not empowered to be grace givers because somebody told us that we should. That doesn't empower us. We're empowered because we know that right now, at this moment, Jesus is rejoicing over us with singing. Right now, He's rejoicing over us. He's celebrating over us. The joy set before Him. He celebrates over us right now. He's singing over us right now. His banner over us is love right now. And that is why we can give grace. That is what empowers us, knowing that we are loved so much, knowing that we are so accepted by God, knowing that He celebrates and rejoices over us. He's our glory and He's the lifter of our head. And of His fullness have we all received. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Freely you have received grace, love. Freely give grace and love.